Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In case you haven't heard, there's been a lot of talk lately regarding impeachment. Democrats generally leave us with a sense that impeachment is urgent and assured. Republicans generally say this is nothing more than another failed attempt to undo the 2016 election results. So what exactly would have to happen for the president to be impeached? If you've been tuning into NPR, you've heard all kinds of conversations from inside the Beltway. Let's go to some South Dakota experts now for some perspective from the middle of the country. Joining us to answer some questions from South Dakota State University, we have David Wiltsey, Associate Professor of Political Science, and Lisa Hager, Assistant Professor of Political Science from South Dakota State University. And they are joining us from the Janine Basinger Studio at SDSU. David and Lisa, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So I'm curious if this conversation is coming up in the classroom and in the proverbial faculty lounge. How, you know, if you live in Washington, if you know that's all you're talking about right now, how about around here?
Oh yeah, definitely. The minute the impeachment investigation started, I kept telling my students in the constitutional law government powers and functions course that we're like 2 days away from impeachment, guys. Like, we were studying the presidency at the time. I'm like, we are almost there. And so things are aligning very well, because even we started talking about some of those things relating to Congress too.
Yeah, and it's hard for us to go anywhere on campus, anywhere in town where people know what we do without them quizzing us on various aspects of this whole process.
What kind of
the
questions?
Politics around it.
Yeah, what kind of questions are they coming up with? Because I've got my own, but I'm curious what people are coming up and asking you.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, what people always want to know is he going to be removed? Is this going to be successful?
Look in your crystal ball and tell me what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Political forecasters.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
that's fair,
from my standpoint, as someone who really studies institutional procedures and behavior, it's how does this process all work? Like, what exactly would happen if they continue to go forward and draw up articles of impeachment?
Right. One of the things I think is really instructive with, and I don't want to, take the human impact out of anything, but a lot of people weren't paying attention to certain elements of politics, and now it seems like everybody's paying very, very close attention, and that can be instructive for the future as well. Lisa, let's talk about that process. How do you walk people through the constitutional mandates and what exactly Democrats are really looking for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so generally when I am talking to anyone outside of my constitutional law class, I try not to get too much in the weeds about it, just because, you know, no one wants to hear all of those sorts of nitty-gritty details at times. But, you know, I just try to go over the fact that we know that impeachment can occur from conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And the Constitution doesn't really give us a lot of guidance on what particularly those other high crimes and misdemeanors can be. And so that's really up to the House of Representatives as they start actually doing their investigations and drawing up those articles of impeachment. And so essentially what we have the House doing is acting as the prosecutor, so to speak. And so they are coming up with those articles, and then they need to pass at least one of those by a majority vote to send it over to the Senate, who then acts more as the court. So they have the power to try all impeachments. And so in order to actually remove a president from office, you need that 2/3 majority vote in order to do so.
So what we're in right now is an inquiry, not an impeachment yet. So this
Correct.
Is the part
yeah.
where, and what about this notion, Professor Hager, about refusing to participate being an impeachable offense in itself? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really up to the House to determine what an impeachable offense is. And that's something that you've seen House Judiciary Committee members take as their stance over time, that they are really the ones who can start to determine what that is. And so, you know, typically the wording that's used is any sort of serious offense. So obstruction, like we're seeing potentially happening, could definitely be something.
All right, let's talk about whether this is, you know, what the president is saying is this is a, you know, a kangaroo court. This is, there's no due process. Where's my due process? Is this about due process?
I think the biggest thing that the president tends to be mistaking about the impeachment process is that it is not a judicial proceeding. You know, I did use the prosecutor court kind of mentality and definitions, but that's more so to help people understand the process. But it's a political process, so we don't have the same burden of proof and due process requirements for impeachment that we would if this was going through the actual judicial court system.
And I think it's useful to think of it as kind of a grand jury. If a case is in front of a grand jury, the people who are being accused, they don't have any right to even hear what's going on in the grand jury proceeding. So to draw these analogies it's useful to an extent, but when it comes to the technicality of the law and the Constitution, they really don't apply.
Mm-hmm. All right, but what he's getting at there, Professor Wiltsie, is the politics of this, and I'm wondering if you can unpack that a little bit for us, because what the president and his allies are pointing out is this is certainly not the first time Democrats have talked about impeachment. They were talking about it pretty much, immediately after he took office. What needs to happen from a political standpoint? Because a lot of water has gone under that bridge, and there are political consequences, not only because we're approaching an election, but also because we're approaching an election. Let's talk a little bit about those politics and what needs to happen to sort of carry the impeachment proceedings forward politically.
Yeah, well, when we look at the president's rhetoric on this and we look at his legal team's positioning on this, it's best not to think of it in strict legalese terms. They are trying to win in the court of public opinion. And a useful way for them to do that is to kind of make these pleas towards due process and fairness in the whole process. Because what's critical for the president is that they don't reach the population doesn't reach a critical mass in terms of their support of impeachment and removal. And we do see some distinct movement in that direction right now. And what the people, the 20 senators who are going to be determining the outcome here, because we need 20 Republicans to reach the 67 votes required, what they're going to be looking at is what the long and short-term costs, both for themselves and their reelection bid, and to potential damage to the party. So they're going to be taking cues from, country. From the perspective of most office holders, they're most concerned about getting reelected. They're concerned about staying in power.
So I'm such an idealist.
And, it is a reality.
Yeah.
And for that, they need to have the politics on their side. And if they see a movement like we're beginning to see, Fox News released a poll yesterday. 51% of the American people are now in support of both impeachment and removal. 4% are in favor of just impeachment, apparently just to give a signal that, you know, this is some behavior that should be checked to a degree. And 40% support neither. That's where we were about 2 months in front of Richard Nixon's resignation. And things really began to move quickly for Nixon when a few key senators began having serious conversations about what the long-term damage to the Republican Party would be should he remain in office.
And this goes back to those conversations in the Oval Office where people said, you don't have my support, and then Nixon resigned. It's that kind of sort of shift that needs to happen. So I'm curious then with, you know, someone like Lindsey Graham coming out and criticizing the president for his actions in Syria and his phone conversation, regarding Turkey, and Turkey has now made military steps into Syria. And that's maybe the first time we saw someone like Lindsey Graham publicly criticize the president. Does that change the calculus at all? That action, and is that a signal for anything regarding impeachment, or is that separate?
It's certainly a sign that we're beginning to see some serious fissures within the Republican office holders and these key senators. And the last few days, both with regard to the Turkish invasion of northern Syria, and there were some news stories last night about the treatment of Reza Zarrab, who was accused and eventually convicted of laundering money for Erdogan to circumvent the Iranian embargo over the past several years, where Trump tried to pressure Tillerson and others in the DOJ to drop the charges on this guy. You know, these are really, you know, these are really the kinds of things that are going to push Republicans away from support, because this is really hitting them in an area of policy that they have owned for years, which is foreign policy. And if he starts showing that he has some kind of corrupt practices in his foreign policy and what's driving his foreign policy decisions, that's where they're going to start jumping ship.
Dr. Hager, you know, we're talking about the politics of this, but I think there have been some, you know, congressmen, congresswomen who have come on the radio on NPR for sure and said, you know, this isn't about the politics for me. This is, you know, this is black and white. We can't make this decision. If we do this, you know, if we let this pass, then we're saying that it's okay to ask a foreign leader to get dirt on your opponent, and it's black and white. And is it ever black and white in this? I'm kind of trying to get at this question of, is a lot of people want it to not be about the politics. They want it to be about the Constitution, because that feels like we're on firmer ground.
Right. Yeah. And that's the tricky part, is that we have so much gray area in the Constitution about what specifically could be an impeachable offense. So in the past, we've had a variety of politicians weighing in on that. You know, a Richard Nixon's response was, in his opinion, he could only be impeached for committing a serious, indictable criminal offense while he was acting in his official capacity as president. You know, you have others who, like I said, tend to say, well, it's really up to the House, particularly the Judiciary Committee that's reviewing those articles of impeachment, to determine what sort of serious offense that is. So unfortunately, when we are trying to look for more of a black and white answer on whether or not Trump should be impeached, we're not necessarily going to find it. And so that's something that members of Congress are going to have to grapple with.
Do you think that after this, what we're sort of seeing happening in Washington and the nation now, that every president could be impeached? That we could see, I should ask it like this, more impeachments rather than fewer?
I think in this particular political age with polarization, it's something that could be batted around every so often. But I think in this particular instance, you're seeing it just because of these outside the norm sorts of behaviors from the Trump administration. I mean, he ran as a more anti-establishment candidate in the first place. So seeing some of these things, although surprising, is also sometimes not surprising, because we knew he was maybe going to try to take a different approach to some of these issues and things like that. So I don't necessarily think going forward we're going to see impeachment always be some sort of political tactic to express your displeasure with what the president's doing, unless you find that behavior to really kind of be outside of the norm of traditional presidential behavior when it comes to foreign policy, because foreign policy is where the president has the most leeway. And we tend to accept that both with Congress, but also the public, and even the Supreme Court tends to defer to the president in that area. So when we see some questions about how he's handling that issue area in particular, you could see some questions about impeachment. You know, sometimes there's always those things with domestic policy, but the president tends to be reined in more on domestic policy by Congress and the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and if I could step in on that really quickly.
Please.
We've seen in almost every administration in the past 30 years, someone in Congress, someone in the House, drop an article of impeachment, put it out there on the House floor almost as a symbolic act.
Yeah.
And in nearly every circumstance, it's just been dismissed. There are very serious allegations here, and that's why it is reaching this point. I don't think this is a tool that these people see as something that should be used lightly. It's harder to use now in the polarized era, but I think they still see this as something you save only in real extreme circumstances.
Dr. Wiltsy, how does this affect someone like Congressman Dusty Johnson, who is, you know, in the House and dealing with this first? And in the circles that I've been walking around, people have been speculating about how often Senator Thune is being photographed with the president and how often he's not, and how did that change? I can't speak to, I have not done that analysis, but that's sort of the buzz is, you know, what will Thune do? What will Thune do? But really, it's Dusty Johnson right now who's is going to have to, it's easy for him to come out, Professor Wiltsy, and say, we should be talking about the USMCA, we should be talking about something else. But what's the political outlook for him on this?
For him, his vote is, it's probably going to be pretty easy. And, you know, his partisanship is probably going to direct it. And most representatives and senators, this will be a party line vote, just as it was in the case of Bill Clinton's impeachment. So for Representative Johnson, I would expect him to probably vote against these articles, and there'd be very little cost for doing so, politically speaking.
Mm-hmm. How fast can this unfold? How fast can it change? Are we looking at a long, drawn-out, you know, there's some witnesses, there's a battle over whether or not we find out who the whistleblower is, there's a Supreme Court, you know, decision ahead, or is it, can it change more quickly than that?
Politically speaking, this could change very quickly in terms of public opinion, particularly if we begin to see some high-profile cracks within both Republican office holders and for opinion leaders on the Republican side. So carefully watch some of these key senators and, you know, it sounds almost trite to say, but watch Fox News. See how they're handling this impeachment because voters do take cues from these people very reliably. And if we begin to see some turns there, this could go very quickly against the president.
So from the
like it did in Watergate.
Right. So from the media perspective, what causes them to turn? What's the calculus that they're trying to figure the cost to them long-term for supporting and the cost to them long-term for really turning against him?
Well, for the media, I think a lot of it just comes down to what their market is and who they see as...
Yeah, specifically Fox News, since you brought them up.
Media is not my area of especially, so I'd be very hesitant to make a definitive claim on that. But what we're seeing is kind of a separation right now in Fox between their newscasters and their opinion folks.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of their high-profile news folks, Chris Wallace, is it Shep Smith? Is that his name?
Sorry, I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Yes,
that's it. Correct, yep.
Yeah, and the president's now tweeting about them directly today. You know, they are, in a sense, turning on the president just because from their perspective as journalists, this is where the facts are taking them. But I don't know what it would take for, the opinion folks like Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, those folks to really begin to turn. Something like this turkey business, or as more details come out with the Ukraine and how the president is handling foreign policy, that could do it. We're just going to have to wait and see.
He does not seem like the kind of president who would resign, as we saw with President Nixon. President Clinton did not resign. What are the consequences if he does resign? Then are there legal ramifications? Is that based on his personality, like whether he's the kind of person to do that or not? Or is there something that he has to legally decide whether resignation benefits for him and is beneficial for him in some way beyond politics?
There's nothing legally or constitutionally that would be driving that decision.
Okay.
I think it really does come down to what you say, personality.
Like your personality, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's definitely not the kind of person to walk away from something like this.
Yeah, back down from a challenge.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we will watch this unfold and invite you back as it does unfold. We can keep track of it all together. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot.